This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I first and foremost want to thank everybody for tuning in, either on our website, on our podcast, or on the radio. And for all those people who are attending PDAC this year, unfortunately, I am not going, but that's because I just moved, and my wife, hey, she's 8 months pregnant, so great excuses for me to miss this year. I will have some coverage from the floor throughout the week from a number of our contacts that are at the conference. And another note, this two-hour show, again, is going to be focused on investing and the markets. Al is taking another break with KER Politics, but should be back very shortly. To kick off this show, I am chatting with Chris Martinson, co-founder, co-editor of PeakProsperity.com. And Chris, I'd like to talk to you about some big picture ideas for the markets. And the big picture idea and big news story that was developing this week and caused some chaos in the markets were these tariffs on steel and aluminum that it looks like are going to come into place. Can I just first get your comments? What's your takeaway from these tariffs?
Well, Smoot-Hawley, I guess, is the first thing I would think about. Is you don't usually get tariffs unless there's something brewing underneath that's causing some stress, you know, and usually they come about at a time, actually the worst time, you know, when something is already a little bit rocky in the story. And that's what makes these a little odd. You know, the main narrative, if you want to believe it, says everything's improving. We just had a record low print for unemployment claims. And the economy seems to be going along okay. This is a strange time to say, hey, we should whip out some protectionism here. And, of course, the tweet by Donald Trump was just so grotesquely historically ignorant that, of course, you know, sort of par for the course, I guess. But the idea that you can only win by using tariffs I don't know any place I can support that. So kind of a bad idea, I think, in general, but the way it's being handled is a little clumsy, and that's what the markets were responding to at first, I think.
Now, isn't this seeming to be very short-sighted? A lot of the news that we heard coming out was a disagreement with China and how Trump kind of wanted to go after China. But what we're seeing is 25% of these steel and aluminum imports come from Mexico and Canada. This is really throwing a big wrench in any sort of NAFTA talks, isn't it?
Well, it is. And of course, the devil's in the details. You know, these trade agreements are thousands of pages thick and how they get implemented and how tariffs get imposed and which agency's doing it and all of that. So it's a little messy. So, of course, you know, it'll take a while to figure out what the details might be. But generally speaking, the idea that the United States would be targeting China when China holds just an extraordinary balance of treasuries, provides an enormous amount of economic benefit for U.S. corporations and consumers in the form of, cheap consumable goods, that we would target China sort of overtly, a little odd, because it's kind of not how China likes to work. They believe in saving face. They believe in diplomacy. They believe in business. It feels like, you know, by the time you're at tariffs, it should be an admission that all other forms of economic diplomacy have already failed. And I don't have that sense of trajectory on this. It seems a little sudden.
Yeah, it sure does, doesn't it? There was also some other comments that were out this week, and that's more Powell, who was in front of Congress, made some comments that, again, benefited the markets, but then confused them, as it almost seems like he is leaning towards 4 rate hikes this year. He didn't come out and guarantee or say that he is staunchly in that camp. But your takeaway from Powell's testimony in front of Congress, anything change in your eyes in terms of the Fed and what we might be seeing out of them?
I think so, because if I can parse the tea leaves of Jerome's words, Mr. Powell is basically saying he's going to be less dependent on what the market does than his predecessor. Maybe still some, but certainly it looks like he wants to be less controlled by how the market might or might not respond to something. So I think that, you know, once you have less of a put on the market in this particular case, it's possibly free to fall a bit. And, you know, the devil's always in the details. Looking at a chart of the Federal Reserve's balance sheet, we see that that is still declining at a reasonable clip here. So there is, that's the true tightening in this story. Interest rate hikes, complex reasoning, but they're not what they used to be because they no longer extract liquidity from the marketplace to make those go up. And with liquidity actually leaving because the Fed's shrinking its balance sheet, that's offset by the ECB having come out recently and said, well, we're a little concerned by the market volatility. We might keep our program expanded longer than we thought. So, you know, we have central banks sort of singing out of both sides of their mouth. They are clearly market concerned, but my takeaway was that Powell seems to be less focused on doing what the market wants. It seems like he has a slightly different agenda.
Hey, that could be actually pretty interesting to see if central bankers start to make policies that could actually help out or benefit the people who aren't just in the markets like the 1%, what have you. Now, Chris, talking about big picture, the story of the year as we came into 2018 was kind of a speeding up of a global recovery, not just in the U.S., but around the world. Is that coming into question now, kind of like 2017 when everyone thought we'd see inflation at the beginning of the year and then halfway through the year, people were again talking about no chance of seeing that magical 2% inflation. Do you think 2018 is playing out that way? A little too optimistic coming in and now a bit more reality creeping into the numbers?
Well, that would be the same as every other year in the last 12, right? Where, you know, the first half is seen optimistically and then they move the forecast goalposts and they say, well, we'll have a second half recovery. And then the joke in the business is they later move that to a third half recovery. They keep sliding that along. And, you know, part of the reason for this, I'm not surprised by this, nobody else should be either, Corey. You can't have robust growth with record amounts of debt hanging over everything, particularly when interest rates are beginning to move up. The interest servicing costs are another sort of strain on overall growth. We're already seeing that show up much faster than I suspected. One quick example, rising mortgage rates just absolutely slammed the brakes on both new and existing home sales in the United States, and that was just about a half a point rise. That was all it took to really put the coolers on that. So rising interest costs, absolutely, in a high debt environment, will slow down that global advance. So again, I think it'd be right to be cautious about these calls for renewed robust growth.
So in terms of interest rates, are you in the camp that thinks we're going to continue to see higher rates, considering that the central banks are slowly stepping out of this area and the fact that the U.S. is going to be issuing almost double the amount of treasuries that it has in prior years?
Absolutely. There's just a wall of new debt coming into the market in the form of sovereign debt, United States being a big ringleader of that particular movement. But a lot of refundings and refinancings have to happen this year. Something that, again, your listeners would do well to track would be something called the LIBOR OIS spread. It's a very it's just a straight up rocket ride where the LIBOR costs are going up very rapidly. Why does it matter? Because LIBOR is what trillions of dollars of interest sensitive notes, bonds and borrowings are linked to. So when companies are going back to the market, they're going to discover that their costs this year are a little over a full percentage point higher than last year, and maybe more if you happen to be a junk rated company and you have more sensitivity to that. So costs are going up for borrowing.
Yeah, they absolutely are. That is the direction that we're seeing, even the short-term little pullback that we saw this week where the 10-year dropped below, I believe it was 2.8%. It very quickly recovered, and we could easily, I think, be seeing 3% very soon. There's just so much debt in the world that's at play and impacted by this. Maybe we will start to see more reasonable PE ratios from companies in the U.S. equity markets, but hey, I don't know. Some of these markets still can continue to kind of be beasts of their own nature. But, Chris, it's always great chatting with you. I always enjoy going to your website, again, peakprosperity.com. Chris covers a wide range of topics, and you're coming out with some great content for your subscribers. So, everyone, go check out that website. Chris, have a great rest of your weekend, and everybody, stick around. I am going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
See why our homegrown small business at sunny-bay.com has tried to help people just like you. Get your Sunny Bay heating pads at sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. Or call 253-678-1361. For hot and cold therapy, sunny-bay.com.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join One Way today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Well, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Dana Lyons. He is a fund manager based out of Chicago. And Dana, I consistently read over your free blog as well as your two other services that subscribers can sign up for. And I want to recap a roadmap that you have been outlining to your subscribers that talks about markets when they are in a more volatile nature. You actually find that to be more predictable because people emotionally and through investments seem to react in similar ways. Take us through first what this roadmap does really tell to you and your subscribers and your clients when we are now in times of more volatility, more of a price discovery in at least some markets.
Sure, Corey. So as you mentioned, when you get jolts, certain stimuli in the markets, it gets people's antenna and attention, and people get emotionally and actively involved in the markets. That's typically what happens in a correction. So in a bull market, you might be drifting along, and you're not quite sure. You read the indicators, and follow the trend, so to speak. In a correction, everyone seems to be alerted and gets involved in the market. So that kind of participation, that kind of emotion that gets involved, the most predictable thing in the markets is human nature. So when you got that many people making emotional decisions because they saw it on the news or they read in the newspaper or whatever, everyone gets involved in those type of correction scenarios. And like you said, because of predictable human nature, those types of market scenarios are the most predictable, actually, to trade. They might be the most hurtful and damaging at times to your portfolio value if you're not sure, you know, how to navigate them. But they are also the most predictable types of markets to navigate in terms of how they unfold and what to expect at certain junctures of corrections.
Okay, so Dana, this week was a choppy week for the U.S. equity markets. Took it on the chin, really, on Thursday. Friday, a mixed bag, but they do seem to, as we're recording this, be climbing back. Who knows, might finish right around even for the day. What is your roadmap telling you about what we could be seeing in the short, maybe medium term for the U.S. equity markets?
Sure. Well, as we did lay out for our subscribers at the Lion's Share, we've been following this roadmap since obviously we peaked in late January. First of all, we don't think it's major trouble. We're not in danger of a serious bear market. We don't think yet. That'll be a little bit down the road. But once this correction started unfolding, it has followed the roadmap that we've laid out for our subscribers perfectly. I couldn't have scripted it any better. Generally, what happens in that type of a correction, you get that initial big low that we saw on February 9th, where eventually people capitulate at the very worst time, and that's what allows the market to set that initial correction low. It allows it to rebound from there, and then from there you get some sort of a retracement, some sort of a dead cat bounce or rebound up generally to some area of predictable resistance or retracement, and many of the indices that we track, we bounce exactly. I think the last time we talked, we were hitting those levels on the retracement almost precisely, and we said, well, this is generally where the rebound stops, and then you go back down and you retest those lows. Some, depending on the index, some indices may do a full-fledged retest of the lows. Some of the stronger indices may only undergo some form of minor retracement of the bounce and hold up much better. But today is, you know, we're getting that that next phase of the roadmap, which is that retest. And right now we're we're rebounding off of those lows that we saw this morning. We did some short covering this morning and did start dipping our toes in a little bit into the market finally on this retest. You know, not saying that that the test is over. Might take a couple days. We'll see. But it is, at least in our view, it is a time that that traders can start, you know, dipping their toes back in. If they're short, if they're hedged, this morning would have been a pretty good time to remove some of those hedges and wait for what we think is going to be perhaps a resumption of the intermediate term rally that that's been going on before this whole correction process hit.
All right, so Dana, it does sound like, you know, short term you are maybe a little bit more optimistic for the markets for, again, just a short term play. But when we do see this kind of volatility, it isn't such an easy market where people should just put their money into some ETFs that just track the overall markets. There are certain sectors that outperform. Your roadmap telling you which sectors these might be?
That goes back to what I mentioned. A lot of it goes back to what I mentioned about how different sectors, how different market segments perform during a correction. How they hold up in that initial sell-off and that initial correction, like we saw from the January highs. Do they get slammed, or do they are they generally resilient? And during the rebound, the next part of the roadmap, how much of the sell-off do they retrace? If it's a dead cat bounce, that's not a good sign going forward. If they retrace all the way or even go to new highs, you know, that's an excellent sign that not only is it performing well now, but once the whole corrective process is out of the way, then it is probably most likely those are going to be the areas that are going to be the outperformers, the relative strength, as we call it. And those are the areas you want to be buying, especially into a retest scenario.
So which areas are you focused on right now, if you don't mind sharing?
Oh, I thought you might not ask that. All you have to do is look at what's do a scan of new highs and look what's close to their 52-week highs generally. So right now, a lot of the leadership is the same as it was going into the correction, which is another decent sign that, you know, nothing too serious is starting with this correction. So for example, a lot of large cap growth that's been leading the way. Various areas in technology that have bounced right back up to the highs or even set new highs over the last week or two. Some of those areas are if history is any guide, those should be leaders going forward. We've seen biotech bounce back nicely today right off of the area that it should have. And you also have a handful of international markets that have been pretty resilient during the correction. Have also rebounded back nicely during that initial bounce off the low. So those are a couple areas.
All right, Dana, always great getting your comments on this show. I appreciate you spending some time. Everybody stick around. I am going to be right back. And Dana, have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, Corey.
Find out more about today's guests. Visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach. the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan." And in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. In this segment, we are getting an update from Revival Gold. Revival is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol RVG and on the OTCQB market under the symbol RVLGF. I have the president and CEO, Hugh Argo, on the line with me. And Hugh, I want to follow up on a recent news release that came out on February 26th that discusses the exploration update and addresses the accelerating timeline for the Bear Tracks resource estimate. I just want to make a quick comment that I think Revival is a company that really got going last year and still has not been noticed by the markets. We'll get talking about that a little bit more, but first and foremost, let's talk about the exploration update. 2017 was busy for you, drilling some more or less confirmation holes and also tying in historic drill data from 2012 and 2013 into the overall drill hole database. My first question to you, Hugh, what's the significance of continuing to build out this drill hole database, and were there any surprises?
Short answer is it is significant and there were no surprises. But the more detailed answer is we might have, when we set out on this course with Bear Track, we might have simply done QAQC on that historic drill data and moved right immediately to a 43-101 compliant technical report and resource update. Instead, what our team chose to do was drill into the historic resource and look at the correlation of those holes with the drill holes previously drilled. We did that. We completed that work in mid-January, and then we got right to work in understanding the comparison between the distribution of grade in the drill holes we drilled in 2017 versus the historical holes. And we completed a quantitative analysis of that, and the results are that the distributions are very similar. So we can say with real confidence now that we've got solid data in that historical drill database, and we will proceed immediately with putting together a updated resource, which will be delivered by the middle of this year.
Okay, so one thing that I think is significant that I want you to comment on is that comparing the 2017 drill core with what happened in the past in 2012 and 2013, some of your actual recent news too that we even talked about earlier on this month talks about the good grades over nice widths, but more importantly, it's very close to surface. This all helps with the overall economics, but this again ties into some of the historical data and what you were able to prove up last year. Can you talk about this, please?
Yeah, just to remind folks, in 2017 drilling, we got intercepts such as 2.76 grams over 52 meters, 3.5 grams over 67 meters, and these are all within 150 meters of surface and really help build the case for the potential for this deposit area. We still need to do a lot of work around understanding how the deposit lays and what we might do in terms of potential economics here. But as a first step, these are great intercepts to have. And as you alluded to earlier, we'll be dedicating our 2018 drilling to expansion of the potential at the Bear Track project, as opposed to simply confirming what we already know.
So talking about the 2018 drilling, you do have an exploration budget of $4.5 million Canadian, which you do have in the bank, I believe. This will encompass 8,000 meters. You just said there you're looking at growing this resource. So what sort of step-out drilling can we be looking for? This sounds like more exploration drilling than really what you were doing last year.
That's correct. We're funded. We have $7.6 million of cash. Our budget approved for Bear Track by the board is $4.5 million this year, which includes 8,000 meters of drilling. The drilling, for those who are keenly interested, the drill map is on our website at revival-gold.com. To summarize it, that we'll be working from the known to the unknown, and we're stepping out both at depth and along strike in the north pit area to the south, and in the south pit area to the south, and then further south of that at the Joss area where we had some historic drill data, which we want to follow up on and test in that area, and the combined strike length between the top of the north pit area and the Joss area is probably about 3.5 kilometers. Now, I wouldn't expect to see mineralization to surface along that whole strike length, but we've certainly got mineralization along that whole strike length, and we'll be stepping out to try and build on what we already have in terms of historic resource, both at depth and along strike.
Now, this does sound like an exciting year to hopefully figure out exactly where this resource expands to and continue to grow the resource, but as it says in the news release from a couple days ago, is that you're accelerating the timing for the resource estimate. It says middle of this year approximately. What's the mentality behind accelerating this resource estimate? Usually we hear companies have to delay estimates. It's good to hear that you're actually accelerating yours.
Yeah, well, we're really off the radar screen for a lot of folks. We've got a market cap of $30 million, and yet we've got a brownfield site with a substantial resource endowment. We think that a big catalyst for the stock and for our company will be to bring this up to 43-101 compliance. And not only that, but to show through the course of 2018 that we've got expansion potential well beyond that resource. So lots of catalysts for 2018, and all focused on seeing some of the value surface in our stock.
Hey, one thing I can say is that talking to a lot of my connections, Revival really was not on their radar. And as I've introduced them to the story, they see the potential that you guys have with this Bear Tracks property. A lot of people, you are correct, are waiting for this updated resource, but we should be getting that mid this year. That could be a nice boost to the company, depending on what that resource actually comes out to be. But one other aspect of this company that I think is attractive is that this project is in Idaho, and recently Idaho has become a more favorable area to mine and, quite frankly, explore. We've seen some news out of Midas recently with some ease of permitting. You're seeing the same thing on your side. Is that correct, dealing with the government in Idaho?
You're right to highlight this, Corey. There's a real positive feel about the state of acceptance for responsible mining in the state of Idaho. As you point out, Midas Gold, which has been leading the way and has done a fantastic job in the state, has now got the bipartisan endorsement of the state legislature for its project in Idaho. I think that's a very a solid indicator. And in fact, we, together with Midas Gold and some of our other peers in the state of Idaho, will be out with Governor Butch Otter to explain and talk to investors about the investment case for Idaho and mining in April. And so folks who are interested in potentially participating in those sessions in Toronto and New York should stay tuned and watch our websites and news on those events.
Well, we will continue to follow up with you, and if anybody has any more comments or questions for Hugh and his team, please be sure to email me. I also want to note that David Erfley, the junior miner junkie, and I also chatted about some of the benefits of being in Idaho in an interview last week. But more importantly, I think this is a company that people need to be focusing on. So, Hugh, nice talking to you today. Thank you for the update. Have a great time at PDAC, and we'll get a recap from you after the conference.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. Call the Federal Tax Management Helpline that has been set up for you, 800-503-8625. Stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Once you've qualified and enrolled, the IRS will stop all the collection activities against you. These unique programs have been allocated to help the economy and significantly reduce or eliminate your tax burden. The IRS is currently accepting reduced settlements and other favorable programs. You may qualify for substantial savings, so get the help you need. If you owe more than $10,000 in taxes, call for free information and to see if you qualify. Take down the number now for the Federal Tax Management Hotline, 800-503-8625. That's 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
To listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am joined by Gianni Kovacevic. He is a regular guest, or becoming a regular guest, on our show. I always like to talk to Gianni about energy-related topics, and more specifically about copper. Gianni is an energy investor and analyst, also the chairman and CEO of Copper Bank. Gianni, what I first want to talk about is a chart that you sent out to your email list that looks at potential work stoppages in the copper market in 2018. This chart was put together by Glencore, and it outlines really three key points throughout this year where we could see some sort of issues arise around different production projects that could again impact the supply in the copper market. I will post this chart below the weekend show posting on our website, but first, take us through, Gianni, what you're trying to show by this chart and maybe some of the impacts and significance that any one of these stoppages would have on the market.
Yeah, people that acutely follow copper will be aware of this. For those that are peripherally following it, let me enlighten these listeners on why that's important. The copper market is already slightly imbalance. There's a supply imbalance, which means the statistics of 2017, the people that follow those statistics most carefully, is the International Copper Study Group located in Lisbon. And they're suggesting, through data, that the market is undersupplied by about 100, 150,000 tons. So where does it come from? It comes out of the hypothecation and maybe from global warehouses. The work stoppages that potentially could occur in the year 2018, this is a banner year for negotiations for labor contracts. So if people look at the chart, these are some of the largest copper mines in the world. Approximately 20% of current copper supply it could potentially be disrupted. Now, there's going to be settlements beforehand, but there could be protracted work stoppages. We are in a situation, I call it musical chairs. There are 99 people attempting to sit in 99 chairs. And what will happen if there are one or two or three protracted work stoppages, the market's really going to be imbalanced. When we have seen this in the past, probably the most famous situation was in the late 2003. The market was getting tight. China's economy kept growing and growing and growing. It was the invisible hand in the global economy. And there was a pit collapse at the world's second largest copper mine. At the time, it was Grasberg. And it was going to be offline for maybe 6 months. The market panicked. All of a sudden, you have 99 people trying to sit in 97 or 96 chairs. And I don't care if you're selling hogs or if you're selling logs. When you have that kind of scenario, it makes for a stronger pricing environment. So we will follow this. If people look at the chart, you have some negotiations coming in March. You have them coming in June, and you have them coming later in the year. I will also highlight to people why this is important. Unlike other commodities, the copper space, the big copper mines, 25 of these large copper mines produce 50% of the world's primary copper production. Most people don't recognize that. So it's kind of a big deal if there was a work stoppage. And the other thing that's always relevant is just the act of God, an earthquake, power doesn't go out, or power, you know, there are many issues that can exacerbate that situation. And every year there are those surprises. So it's like an alignment of planets where the demand for copper is strong. We've seen that. It keeps growing, CAGR growth of about 3.5%, 4%. We've got this delta and a calamity coming with supply already, irrespective of all these things. As we go into 2019, 2020, 2021, there's a shortfall of supply. We've underinvested in copper supply over the past 6-7 years through the bear market. So it's an interesting added dynamic, which if you're an investor in copper, pricing is important. We can talk about the pressure points where I think all global investors are waiting for, but we're in that sort of sweet spot where these planets have aligned, in my opinion, for stronger copper prices.
So from the supply side of things, yes, these mine closures, or if a mine closure does happen at one of the larger mines, that definitely impacts the overall balance between supply and demand. But from a demand standpoint, too, we know copper as Dr. Copper, and that usually means that it's looking at economies around the world. You even mentioned China. That's on a lot of people's minds as to how China is going and how much still they are going to be buyers of metals, especially copper, as they're build out continues. How crucial in your eyes is ongoing economic data out of China compared to other parts in the world?
Well, China's the world's largest consumer of copper by a power of magnitude, so of course it's important. Global supply and demand of copper is about 24 million tons. 4 million tons comes from recycling, secondary supply. The 20 million tons comes from primary copper production. 16 million of that is copper concentrates. 4 million of that is cathode from solvent extraction projects around the world. So if China is consuming almost half of the world's copper, this is kind of a big deal. We saw last year they're starting to implement a stronger regulation with respect to what kind of copper they can recycle, meaning they don't want to be importing, people can imagine in the theater of their mind, little telephone cables where you have a lot of plastic, it has to get melted off, and there's a lot of pollution associated with that kind of recycled copper. They're being a little bit more sticky with that. We also have to recognize that China is not, they don't keep this copper. They are an exporting nation. So yes, they import copper. They smelt it. They fabricate it. They make various products, rods, connection points, cables, wires. But then that goes into various pieces of equipment, and that is exported all over the world. So at the end of the day, all these tens of millions of motors and countless kilometers of cable, it ends up in economies around the globe. So albeit China, it's very important to follow the economic growth levels in the country, and it's growing by about 6.5%. That's GDP. As my friend Frank Holmes would say, looking at GDP is like looking in the rearview mirror. And if you keep doing that, you're going to get in a car accident. You have to look at the signal for the future. And we do that with Purchasing Manager Index, PMI. Global PMIs have been as strong as we've seen them in decades. There is, a sustained global recovery, including China. Now, there's been some news just we're now today interviewing on February 28th, just to be current, and people are saying that the PMIs are falling. But long as they're over 50, then 50 is the growth number. If you're below 50, it means that the economy should be contracting in the future. Global PMIs are like 57, 58, 59, and China's still above 50. So I believe that in any metric, the global economy is doing okay, which gives you a CAGR growth of about 3%. And this is a statistic that works, as you call it, Dr. Copper. That's a reliable statistic going back 120 years. But there's a new invisible hand in global copper consumption. It's the pervasive use of copper in modern energy. Anytime that you look at greener and cleaner energy, not just electric cars, I'm talking about wind power, solar power, photovoltaic solar power, the curtailment issues to deal with too much wind power or to balance power systems. I'm talking about batteries, battery storage, energy storage. It takes way more copper. Not 20% more copper, Corey. It takes, in the example of wind power in a wind park, 500% more copper for each megawatt that you create. Offshore wind, 1,000% more copper. So I believe the CAGR growth in the demand of copper is actually going to be higher than the global growth rates. Global growth is by about 3%, 3.5%. I believe we're going to see CAGR growth rate in the demand of copper, maybe 5%. So it's going to surprise people. And it's so pervasive throughout the global economy, from the smallest, most rural village in Africa to the town that you live in. And this is what's going to surprise people. Supply, big problems. We can go on for hours, the various, not just with these supply disruptions and work stoppages, but just underinvestment in supply. Meanwhile, the demand for that commodity is going to grow, and it's going to grow by, I believe, 4 or 5% CAGR growth rate for the next 20 years.
All right, there you have it from Gianni. Some interesting comments on the copper market. I know that copper has performed really quite well compared to some of the other metals that we've been watching. Base metals really have been an outperformer in the recent couple of years, and you outlined some reasons that they should continue to trend upward. Gianni, it's great chatting with you. I hope you have a great time at PDAC this coming weekend and during the week. I will be having you back on the show again shortly. Thanks, Gianni.
I hope to see everyone at PDAC. Thank you.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Over the last 4 years, three of the biggest online precious metals dealers have gone bankrupt and their owners put in prison due to theft and fraud. Having previously purchased precious metals, can you be sure you purchased the right product? Did you receive proper advice? Or were you stung by one of these companies? Miles Franklin has been in business for 29 years without receiving any material customer or regulatory complaints ever. Maintaining an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice, bar none. Call us at 866-485-4346 and let us review your portfolio at no commitment whatsoever. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Get the peace of mind you deserve in working with a precious metals company with a reputation like Miles Franklin. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Precious Metals, the name you can trust.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating an extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.